Today is Sunday, December 18th, 2016, and this...
Hi, I'm Alan Thicke here in Las Vegas, the most exciting city on earth, with an offer you cannot refuse. This offer is limited to people who love food, fun, dining, gambling, sports, big shows, big stars, and generally people just loving life.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 581.
Las Vegas, the honor!
Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're
going
to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm feeling great. I don't know why I'm in such a good mood, but I am.
Good.
Maybe the holiday spirit is starting to set in.
Yeah?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But I'm happy to be alive, damn it.
Yes.
All right. So, and I'm happy to be talking about Las Vegas. I've been thinking a lot this week, just randomly at different times. All of a sudden, the thought will pop into my head that I just really love Las Vegas.
Aww.
I know that's a stupid thing to say. It's so basic for considering what we do, but that city still makes me very, very happy.
That's awesome.
Yep. And I know there's a lot of, you know, we're at a time, and we've talked about it a lot, where people are fretting over different fees, and it's not as great as it used to be, which is a constant running theme regardless of the era. But I always, whenever I think about my Las Vegas trips, like mm-hmm. let's talk, not talk extensively, but like our last Las Vegas trip, when I think about that, it makes me happy. And I just think, like, I, regardless of any of the things that I don't like or that I bitch about or mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. I still want to go back. I still, like, the memories make me happy. The actual experience when I'm there, I'm happy.
The planning, the next trip makes you happy.
Exactly. I'm
the anticipation.
Yes. Yeah, so it still fills a very important role in my life and
that's
makes
good.
Me happy. So
hey.
I'm going to turn you up a little bit here. Okay. So...
You're bubbly today.
I don't know what's going on. I think I had excessive sleep. I'm not sure, but I feel good.
Is that breakfast beer hitting you yet?
I only had a little sip, so not yet.
Okay.
We're having an extreme cold spell here at 500 headquarters, and I'm not leaving the house today, and I decided, you know what? I didn't drink at all last night.
I know, I'm surprised.
I say that like it's a big deal, but Saturday night, usually I'll have a couple belts, and mm-hmm. last night I just wasn't feeling it, and this morning I woke up and... starting to work on the podcast stuff, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to do the podcast, sit around, watch some shitty football games I don't really care about, and have a couple beers. What the hell?
Why not?
Why not? So that's what's on my agenda for the day. Anyway, let's get into Las Vegas, since that's what we're here for. Let's start with the big news, which surrounds Elon. Now, I'm not going to go off on another 10-minute jag about my thoughts on Elon. I think I've covered it pretty extensively.
And you're in such a good mood, I'd hate to see you kill that.
It's true. So, you know, you can listen to the show from a few weeks ago when I talked extensively about Elon if you're curious about my thoughts and why this next bit of news doesn't necessarily make me sad. James Packer's Crown Resorts, which was the major financial investor in the Elon Las Vegas project, has pulled out of that project. That company is having a lot of issues. They're trying to strengthen their financials. This isn't the only project they pulled out of. They had some... You're smiling because I keep saying pull out.
Uh-huh.
You're such a child.
I know.
And they had a Macau project as well that they're not going to do anything with. So they're trying to strengthen their financials, and they've had some issues related to some of their employees got arrested in China or
what?
Some shit. I don't follow the international gambling thing all that because I don't care about it, but I might have to look into this a little bit more extensively and find out exactly what's going on, just out of my own curiosity, not for the podcast necessarily. So anyway, Crown was the company that bought the land that Elon was planned for, the former New Frontier land. They bought it from a company that was going to build something called Plaza Las Vegas, which mm-hmm. was based on the plaza in New York.
Yep.
I think it was called Elad.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that was the company. That did not happen. The guy who's got to be like laughing his ass off about all this is Phil Ruffin, who now owns Treasure Island, because he sold that land super high. He bought Treasure Island low. He's still sitting on additional cash from that whole thing. He's got to be thinking, man, I made the best decision of my life when I sold that thing. Because then I think Elad took a loss on it, and now who knows what's going to happen with Elon. But this is Crown's third failed attempt to enter the Las Vegas market. I think it's time to just maybe
let that dream go.
Let the dream go, because the illustrious projects that they've been involved in are, well, Crown Resorts, which was, remember Christopher Milam was the guy behind that, and it was going to be like a gigantic.
Was that the super tall one?
Super,
that they had
143 stories or some nonsense, just ridiculously tall hotel tower, or maybe it was two towers. I don't remember.
And they had to get permission from the airport to build something that high.
Yeah, and it wasn't even that close to the airport. It was going to be next to SLS. So that failed. And then Fontainebleau, they invested a bunch in that.
Oh, dear God.
That didn't go well.
We know where that's at.
Yeah, which reminds me, remember the real estate guy who was selling, he doesn't own it, but he's assisting with the sale of Fontainebleau. And he made a bunch of statements several months ago that, we will have a buyer by the end of 2016.
Yeah, TikTok, motherfucker.
Clock is ticking. I was skeptical then. I'm skeptical now. But anyway, maybe 2017. Maybe. And then, of course, Elon is the third project, and they have pulled out of that. And the only detail that Crown gave was a very brief statement saying, Crown Resorts and its partners will begin exploring alternatives to optimize the value of their investment in Elon, including an outright sale. So with that announcement, everybody assumed Elon is dead. It's no more. There's nothing happening.
Poor 40 out.
Yeah. Then about a day later, the other people involved in the Elon project, Andrew Pascal and his management crew, issued a statement saying, we're looking for ways to keep this going. What this is, you know, they've put a lot of work into it. They've got their plans. They're calling it shovel ready. Which is kind of part of the sales pitch, I guess, that, look, if you are somebody who can invest and wants to invest in high-end Las Vegas properties, this is ready to go. So give us your money. We'll build it and open it. We're ready to go. All the hard work has been done except for the actual construction and operating the place. That is their pitch. And then Andrew Pascal's been doing interviews about that as well, saying they're not officially pulling the plug. They don't plan to until they've exhausted all other options. But they're realistic about it, and they have talented people on board, and he doesn't want to keep them tied up. So it's kind of like, you know what, we're going to see what else we can do here, and then once we are convinced that there's no other options, we're going to pull the plug. They still have money, apparently, to keep it going for a few more months, keep the people on board.
But it all depends on getting funding to actually build the thing.
And without Crown, they said that there's been some renewed interest from some companies that weren't interested because of the amount of equity, I think, that Crown held in it and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know.
You're skeptical.
I'm always skeptical, but it seems like a longer shot than ever. And I think more and more people are thinking that it's a longer shot than ever based on some of the reactions I've seen. So as of right now, technically, yes, the project is still alive. It's definitely, there's a heart monitor attached to it. I'd say it's in intensive care, and I would be surprised if it happens. Some other things related to this, though, that I'm wondering now. So let's assume it's dead. Elon's not going to be built. What would that mean, first of all, for Resorts World, which obviously has been sputtering along for about the same amount of time as Elon? They've built a parking garage, and again, they have a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff done, but they haven't really done much on site other than some moving some utilities around and putting up a parking garage. What does it mean for that? I hope that it doesn't mean that that's going to stall too, but it could. It could.
That would be bad.
The latest statement I saw from Genting Gaming, which is putting up Resorts World, is that they're expecting to start. Oh, we're in the middle of playtime here again with the dog. They're expecting to ramp up building here. Now, they've said this several times. It's been postponed several times, but now first quarter of 2017. So that could be 3 weeks from now, could be 2.5 months from now. They were supposed to I think, start a while ago. So we'll see. And then the other big project in that area is Wynn's golf course redevelopment, where he's got that crazy...
The island thing.
The island with King Kong climbing up it, and a beach resort and water skis and zip lines and all kinds of weirdness that doesn't seem like a natural fit for Wynn. A lot of that was seen as a response to Elon and some of the other things going on in that area. So will that continue? I don't think that's formally been brought before the board of directors even. I think he's floated the idea and talked about it a lot, but I don't think it's been formally approved. I wonder if now he'll scale that back and say, just kidding, not to do that. So this could have some ripple effects. We will see what they are, and I look forward to watching the story unfold. And of course, if Elon ends up getting funding miraculously, we'll talk about that as well. So that's the story there. My opinion really has not changed in terms of my lack of desire for this project. So I'm not, like I said, I can't say that I'm super sad about this, but that's not based on their plans as much as just the direction I saw them heading based on the little bit of marketing they put out. So
I'm a little bummed because I want to see that section of the strip do well. And
as do I.
I'm concerned, like you pointed out, about the domino effect. If this doesn't go through, then are other things not going to go through? And is it just going to continue to be...
nothing.
Yeah.
Well, so then that's the thing. So do we... at some point, do we essentially accept, look, this is not going to happen anytime in the next decade or more, the redevelopment of the north end of the strip? And do we just accept that Wynn is... Wynn and Encore are, that's it. That's the end of the strip. And then you've got the outliers, Circus, SLS, Stratosphere, Lucky Dragon down there. But let's just consider them off strip at this point. I mean, they're on Las Vegas Boulevard, but has the strip been redefined?
Yeah.
And at some point, do we accept that? We've always kind of accepted that it is from Sahara to Mandalay Bay. But there's not really a lot going on that north end, and there hasn't been for a long time, so maybe we, I don't know. I can't say that it, I mean, that's just all, I guess, labeling more than anything. Like, this is the strip, this is not the strip. It doesn't really affect things that much, but I don't know. We've had the north end of the strip dormant for a long time, so... is it going to affect things that it continues? Is it going to change our experience in Las Vegas that it's still empty?
Our experience or everyone's experience?
Everyone. I mean, it's already empty. So it's like, okay, we're continuing with more of that. It's not ideal. I don't wish it to be that way. I'd love to see that fully developed.
Yep.
But then in a sense, like, okay, so
here's
it's
another question,
still
though.
Undeveloped. But what?
If for some crazy reason, let's say that becomes super developed and becomes a new place to be, does that mean other stuff on the strip decays or no?
You know what? Whenever you open a new project, a new resort, then the market shifts a little bit depending on how. So let's say Elon takes away high end from the other high end, you know, audience consumers from other properties, then it's a matter of how do they adapt. So then you'd like to think that, oh, well, then I can get those of us at the lower end of the scale, the middle tier, lower end of the scale, would then get nicer stuff.
Or
the properties that used to be super nice aren't maintained in the same way. So then they're no longer the top tier. So you might be staying at, this is not likely, but let's say you're staying at Bellagio, but it's not really the Bellagio it used to be. It's a shell of its former self, and now it caters to the middle market instead of the higher end. So, you know, things shift. So it's kind of hard to say what the ripple effects would have been if these things opened. I don't know.
Then again, when hotels kept opening and they were increasing the number of rooms, everyone was saying, when are they going to reach
capacity? When is it going to reach the saturation point? Maybe in a way it kind of has, not necessarily from how many visitors can be handled or you know, and have the city continue to whirl along, but just in terms of there's not obviously the investment dollars aren't there to keep opening new places that are built from the ground up at this stage. Lucky Dragon is the only one in years that's managed to happen. The rest of them have been more since redevelopment.
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see what the next couple of years hold. The fact that the economy is doing well now and yet they're still not able to line up funding tells me the north end of the strip is probably going to be in the same state it's in now for quite a while. I'd like to be proven wrong, but we'll see. So that's the story with Elon. We'll continue to follow any developments with that. Another north strip, if we're still considering it the strip. quick management-related update. The president of SLS, Scott Krieger, is resigning. He is leaving that property effective on December 31st. He has accepted an offer from another unnamed gaming company outside of Las Vegas, according to the Review Journal. So, you know, I don't get into a ton of personnel-related things in Las Vegas resorts and the business end of things all that much. But whenever it's the top person, it's kind of noteworthy, I guess. And I was thinking about, he's been with the company 2 years. He joined shortly after it opened. And when at that point, it was kind of in the middle of a little bit of turmoil. Every time we had talked about SLS around that period, it was related to a restaurant is closing. There's nobody gambling there. Things were not great. And, you know, I don't know how it's doing from a business perspective, but certainly he seems to have stopped the bleeding in terms of everything closing and leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's because there's nothing else
left. There's not a lot less to close.
The retail is pretty much gone. Left. But there's, you know, I think a lot of people thought Umami Burger was going to close.
Mm-hmm.
That's still there. And then, you know, they've revamped some of their restaurant stuff. But I haven't heard the term death spiral either from us or anybody else in a while related to SLS.
So that's good.
At the very least, he seems to have stopped the bleeding. You know, while he was there, they converted some of the nightclub space to live music venues rather than just the typical DJ EDM kind of thing.
There's some stuff I would love to see at the Foundry.
Yeah, they've had really good acts there.
It just hasn't timed out.
Yeah, so they seem to be doing some interesting things there as far as entertainment. They've turned over one of their towers to Starwood to run as a W Hotel, so we'll see if that's a good move. That's really a fairly new thing, so I don't know, but I don't know that the property is necessarily thriving, but it doesn't seem like it's suffering from what I guess I would term amenity decline anymore, at least for the time being.
Yeah, it seemed like every other week, oh, this is closing, and this is closing, and this is having limited hours.
This is rumored to be closing.
A few days a week. And, yeah.
We had a lot of that. So
it's bad.
As far as his replacement, the company is looking for someone to replace him. I don't know, maybe they could call the people at Elon. Maybe Rob Oslin wants to come back and give it another crack. I don't know. But they have not announced who that will be yet, obviously, because this is fresh news. But we'll see what that person is able to do with the property. And it's always going, well, not always necessarily, but for the time being, it's still going to be hampered by its location. But if they can make the best of what they've got, you know, they have some interesting things. It's a nice property. I actually have liked spending time there.
Yeah.
But that location thing always hampers it for us. Let's talk about something else we've been talking about the last few weeks. It's kind of a weird coincidence that this news just keeps coming out. Last week we talked about how Uber and Lyft have been chipping away at the Las Vegas Strip bus routes and that their ridership is down 17% from the same time last year. Some additional details came out this week to quantify the effects on cabs. This is what I've been waiting to see, and it's kind of what I expected. The Taxi Cab Authority has reported, according to the Review Journal, that in November, there was a 19.2% decline in ridership from the previous year. So last November, almost 20% higher.
Wow.
And then for the entire year to date, the first 11 months of the year, it's down 16.2%. So yes, ride sharing is either that or people just aren't moving around, but I don't think that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
Ride sharing is definitely having a huge effect. Their revenue is down 13% this year. I can't say I'm the least bit sad because, as you know, we've been vocal critics of the cab industry in Las Vegas and some of their practices and some of their rates and all that stuff. And I think it might have been on last week's show or 2 weeks ago, we talked about how during the recession, it was kind of the golden era to book hotel room.
Yeah.
This might be the golden era for transportation in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So appreciate
there's
so it while
much
you
competition.
Can. Yeah. Right now there's a lot of competition, and as a result, you
and
do
rates
have. Rates are low. The service is generally decent, at least if you take the ride sharing services.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a general feeling and an expectation that at some point they will start ratcheting rates up. I would certainly expect that to happen. But for right now, you get a lot for a little, and take advantage of it while you can. So if you've been thinking about starting to explore off strip, maybe now is the time to do it without having to rent a car or any of that stuff. So yes, I should clarify now, when I say it's a golden age for transportation, this is amidst the parking stuff, which is shitty. But if you're looking at just your
getting from place to place.
Yeah, place to place without having to be burdened by a car. I see it as a burden. Many people don't, but a car that you rent.
You see it as an inconvenience. Many people see it as a convenience.
But if we're looking at bus, cab, ride sharing, this is not a bad time. You've got options, so that's good. All right, when Las Vegas announced officially, I think they had referred to it previously, but they officially announced this week that they are going to be adding Amazon Echoes to all of the Wynn and Encore rooms by the summer of 2017. Are you familiar with Amazon Echo?
From the commercials.
So it's a little speaker that sits in your room or your house or wherever you live or work or whatever that you can talk to, and it'll answer questions for you, and it can control things. So it's kind of like Siri on the iPhone, but it's Amazon's answer to that.
Yep.
And you don't have to push a button or anything. You can just shout out, "Hey, Alexa, blow me," and Alexa will give you a blowjob. That's how I understand. No, we'd have one if that were the case, but that's not the case. It's so you can, anyway, that was horrible of me. It is hands-free.
Well, there you go.
What they're planning on using it for.
What about Alexa, give me a handy? That's going to be a problem.
That would be a problem. What they're planning on using Alexa for at Wynn is things like controlling the lights and the temperature and the AV in your room. And I don't know, maybe at some point, I don't know if right away, but at some point I assume they could wire it up so it's like, Alexa, call room service. Alexa, you know, call the concierge, and they could immediately, you don't have to pick up the phone. It just is on. So I would imagine if that's not part of it now, it will be later on. Some people are concerned about this, the privacy aspect of this. Essentially, you have a speaker that's on, or a microphone and speaker that's on in your room all the time, listening to everything you say in case you say Alexa.
And everything you do.
And so I don't know that I get. I fall somewhere in the middle when it comes to privacy stuff between, you know, I'm going to have all this stuff that's cloud-based and I'm not going to worry about it, and oh my god, everybody is monitoring my thoughts. I'm somewhere in the middle there, but there are some people who are very concerned with the idea of having a microphone listening to everything they say and everything they do in their room. I do wonder if at some point I would be staying at Wynn and could say, "Hey Alexa, turn off that shitty club music that's playing downstairs so I can get some sleep," and it would just go and power the whole place down. That would be my dream, but I don't see that happening.
I don't think you're enough of a high roller to have that sort of access.
I'm barely able to stay at Wynn. I've probably, what we say there, twice? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's happening. So some new technology coming to Wynn and Encore. There is a new, I don't know, how would you describe this? This new thing that is opening in a week or so at MGM Grand. I guess it's basically an arcade.
I guess.
The MGM Grand's attempt at catering to millennials. We always talk about this, and it's still ridiculous how... Well, I guess it's not ridiculous. The businesses need to be smart about bringing in new business, but watching them stumble and fumble trying to figure out how to get the millennial dollar is very entertaining. And MGM's latest attempt is something called Level Up.
Which, there's an ad for Mall of America that has the Level Up song, and every time
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Which only probably makes sense to about 10 people. But
no, we have more than 10 listeners in the Minnesota area. We have a lot of listeners who are singing that song in their head right now and are cursing your name for it.
Sorry.
That's okay. So Level Up is in the former Rainforest Cafe space, very prominent space at MGM. You come down the escalator from the strip, you know, from Excalibur or Tropicana or whatever, and it's right there. So right in the prime space of the casino near Hakkasan. I think Hakkasan might be running this. I'm not even sure. But to me, it's a glorified Dave and Buster's, but without children. So, and they're adding, they're mixing up casino games and arcade games. Like, all in one area.
Do they have shuffleboard?
So there's, I wouldn't be surprised. So here's what the official description, here's what they say is included. It's a 12,000 foot venue, square foot venue. It will include such activities, traditional activities such as pool, foosball, and ping pong, among others, while putting an inventive twist on the latest in peer-to-peer experiences.
I just threw up in my mouth, but okay.
Okay. Well, here's the other things. They have a contemporary wave of gaming with a number of unique installations, including, so here are some of the other games they have. Quad air hockey. Mm-hmm. So that's like, you know, little board hockey thing. That's kind of fun.
That is fun.
Bubble hockey. Bubble hockey. I don't know what the difference between quad air hockey. Air hockey is like the air hockey.
Is the, yeah, you're making this gestures. You've got a disc, and then you've got the little... Yeah.
So then you got bubble hockey, which is the little guys on sticks.
Is that the one that has the dome, and then you've got the...
It's like the thing we have in the basement that's collecting dust, except for it has a big dome bubble over
yes.
it. Yeah, so it has... That's helpful to no one. You and me only. So it's the little hockey players on sticks that you move around and shoot goals.
You could put a picture on
it sounds
Twitter
like,
or something.
Yeah, maybe
really
somebody wants to buy it. They're, it sounds like they're moving Sigma Derby. That's listed here.
Oh.
Giant Pac-Man. And Connect Four, as well as an arm wrestling table, which that's got lawsuit written all over it. When you start getting people injured as a result of the arm wrestling table,
people start yelling over the top.
I'm turning their hat backwards and pulling out that harness thing.
Playing Frank Stallone.
What if they had nothing but Frank Stallone playing as the soundtrack to Level Up? Would that increase or decrease your chances of hanging out there?
It would increase my chances for about 10 minutes, because I think that's about the length of the Frank Stallone catalog.
Oh, no. He's got songs on most of Sylvester Stallone's movies from that era.
Really?
Yeah, he was a staple. Anyway, that's an overstatement to say most. Some of the other, let's say. What else? So, Las Vegas Weekly reported on this as well, and some of the additional things that they mentioned is that there's going to be an indoor laser golf course. So that's pretty much like
I am down, but I am far from over. Go on.
I don't know what that's a reference to.
Oh, it's a Frank Stallone song.
Oh, nicely done. So it's a real-world golf course simulator on moving greens with laser guidance. It sounds very advanced. If you're a golfer, that might be fun. Team that up with Top Golf. You'll have a blast. Then, of course, taking a page out of the Still at Mirage and out of Gold Spike, it wouldn't be a millennial hangout without a Gulfstream trailer.
Right.
So there's going to be a private lounge Gulfstream suite attached to the... I don't know why.
Will you have to go to the Gulfstream trailer to order your food?
I don't know. There's going to be a bar with 24 craft beers and specialty cocktails, of course. And they're going to have DJs and some other entertainment, blah, blah, blah. So it opens on December 29th. The website is levelupLV.com if you're interested in checking it out. I look forward to hearing reports starting in a couple weeks from our listeners as they take a look. And I'm wondering how it will compare to the other millennial-centric spaces that have popped up in the last year or two on the Strip, including whatever that thing is at Encore.
Oh, yeah.
That's just like a kind of a gambling space with couches.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't there like a seating area at SLS? Which is kind of, it all started, I guess it probably all started with Cosmo.
Mm-hmm.
They started with just these.
Well, they had that stuff on third floor.
Yeah, they had a foosball table. And so anyway, I'm curious whether or not it will not only draw people in, but also be of interest to any of our listeners. So please review it for us. We'd love to hear from you. All right, a couple more notes. We mentioned last week that Raiding the Rock Vault, the semi-long-running show previously at Tropicana, most recently, was looking for a new home. And indeed, according to the Review Journal and Johnny Katz, it will be reopening. So that's good news.
Yay.
March 11th at the Hard Rock, the vinyl venue, will be the new home to Raiding the Rock Vault. And Hard Rock seems like the perfect fit for this show because... The show consists of former and current members of classic rock bands performing great classic rock. Well, great if you like that kind of music, I guess. Greatest hits of classic rock from the bands they were in and other bands. So seems logical for the Hard Rock to be the home to this. I do want to see this show, so we need to make it a point to see it when it opens at the Hard Rock. They're doing some interesting entertainment things over at Hard Rock now. They've got Radio Rock Vault, and of course, Magic Mike Live opens in the spring as well.
Hey, we could do a double feature.
No. How about you go to Magic Mike and I'll go to Raiding the Rock Vault?
And then we'll meet up after and compare notes.
Yeah. Max, shut up. What are you doing, dummy? Max wants to go to Raiding the Rock Vault with me.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Finally, settle down, buddy. Some interesting circus news. A news story on KTNV television in Las Vegas reports that a guest at Circus named Thaddeus Thomas recently awoke to find that his Circus room was covered in ants.
Ooh, even more horrifying than normal.
I know. I would expect that the ants at Circus to be more confined to the Adventure Dome, like sticky popsicle spots on the floor covered in ants or something, but I wouldn't expect that in a hotel room necessarily. The problem, part of this is the only problem. The problem with that is there are many problems, but one of the items that was covered was the man's CPAP sleep apnea machine. And his doctor told him, you got to quit using that because the ants could have laid eggs in the machine. And the last thing you want is to be breathing in
ants and their eggs.
Ugh. I know, not cool. Circus has apologized but declined to say whether or not it would replace his machine. I think they might want to just replace the machine.
They might want to do that.
Be done with this bad PR.
Worse than usual PR.
Yeah. So that's Circus. Sometimes booking the cheapest room is not necessarily the best idea. That is the lesson to be learned here. All right. It's so funny. I get requests a lot from people who know me but aren't necessarily big Vegas fans that are going to Vegas for work. And they'll say, you know, I'm trying to decide where to stay, blah, blah, blah. And I have a few tips I always give them. And one of them is when you're looking at rooms, whether it's a package deal or otherwise, you're probably going to see these hotels. And I'll give them a list of a handful. And I'll explain why. Even though the rates are extremely great, they might want to not stay there. Circus is always on the list. All right. So with that, let's talk about our friends at
Viator. It gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So, as I mentioned, the holidays are upon us. It's not too late. Good news, it's not too late to book a spectacular experience on New Year's Eve in Las Vegas. Viator did this last year, I think probably for the first time because the High Roller wasn't around much before that, where Viator has access to many of the High Roller pods exclusively, but most noteworthy, they have the highest pods on the car when it stops for the fireworks viewing on New Year's Eve. So they have a bunch of different packages right now. So High Roller usually goes around continuously. It does not stop. But on New Year's Eve, they do stop it during the fireworks so that people who have paid more than the standard rate, because it's a special event, can view the fireworks from their High Roller pod. And obviously the best ones are the highest ones. You can get them through Viator. But it's not just those.
Because you don't want to view the fireworks through the parking garage at Flamingo.
Probably not. There are actually different packages available. So if you look at it and you go, ooh, that's a little bit more than I would want to spend for that, there are other options available where you can still have a great time viewing the fireworks, but you're just not necessarily on those top four pods. So they have all kinds of options, including VIP pre-parties with live music, entertainment, open bar and food, a DJ dance party.
Make sure you go to the bathroom before you go on the High Roller.
Good tip. Unlimited drinks in the cabin and a champagne toast at midnight. So those are all options depending on the package you choose.
Especially if you do the unlimited drinks in the cabin option.
Yep. You might want to make sure your bladder's empty because you're going to be on there for a little longer than the normal 30-minute ride even as it stops for the... I think the fireworks usually last, 20 minutes or so? Something like that.
I don't know.
But they do a great job with the fireworks in Las Vegas on New Year's Eve all up and down the strip, and that would be a really cool place to watch it. And probably the best time to ride the High Roller if it's an option for you. You can check out all the details at Viator.com. Of course, we have a link on our website at 500bymidnight.com. If you click through that before you book stuff, we get extra credit points from Viator. This is one of the many reasons I love them. They do really cool exclusive things. Some of them are like one-shot, one-day holiday spectaculars like this, and others are seasonal, and some are just ongoing exclusives. So check out Viator for some great experiences to make your vacation in Las Vegas or elsewhere better. Thank you, Viator. All right, we're going to hold phone calls for next week. I do have a few, but I decided to keep this show a little more short and tidy and hold it for our next show. I don't know if we're doing a show next week, but our next show. So our listener purchase of the week this week is, and again, don't want to give away any holiday secrets, so we're staying away from anything that could be given as a gift. However, we're down to last minute gift season for Christmas gift givers. And one way that you can postpone your Christmas gift shopping until the very end is by giving an Amazon gift card.
I believe Hanukkah's on the 24th. It starts on the 24th as well.
Thank you. Hanukkah gifts, Christmas gifts, any type of holiday gifts.
Festivus.
Festivus. What is the official day of Festivus?
23rd.
All right, the 23rd.
Get out that poll.
Usually, do you actually, is that a gift-giving holiday? I know that there are certain things.
Right, feats of strength.
I don't know if there are gifts involved.
I don't think so. You could give one in honor of...
Airing of the grievances is my favorite part, of course. I always have a lot of those.
You celebrate Festivus year-round.
I kind of do. Anyway, the nice thing about Amazon gift cards is in addition to the physical gift card, they also have digital gift cards that you can send immediately by email or text. So that makes it easy. It can be Christmas Day, and you can go, shit, I forgot to buy something for so-and-so, and just fire it up. They're going to know because they get an email, but what the hell? Who cares? At least you got them something.
Mm-hmm.
Versatile.
You can get practically anything.
I know. I swear I'm ordering things on Amazon like 4 days a week now. I just rely on them for too lazy to go out and buy pickles. I will order them and the pickles will be delivered to me.
You ordered food to prepare more food.
I ordered some white wine vinegar and some sweet picante peppers, which I will be using for our lunch today.
Great.
So anyway, Amazon gift cards. Click through the link at 500bymidnight.com. We get a small cut because we're members of their affiliate program, and you don't spend anything additional, but it helps support the podcast. Super easy. Thanks to everybody who's been doing that. You've been buying some awesome stuff for your loved ones or those people that you barely tolerate but feel obligated to get a gift for based on the list of things I've been seeing. Thank you for using
peach
that link.
Peach candles.
I do appreciate it. I haven't seen any peach candles on there, but there may have been a candle or two. I'm not sure. But they're probably like erotic adult candles, knowing our listeners.
All right.
All kinds of crazy stuff. All right, karma donations. We've had a few of those this week, including recurring donations from Brian and William. Thank you to both of those gentlemen.
Thank you.
We do appreciate your ongoing support. Our good friend Al from San Diego.
Hooray.
Said, Merry Christmas to my longtime Vegas-y friends. I truly love what you do. I hope my donation will be a senseless splurge, a terrible bet, or a full week stay at Circus Circus.
Just avoid the ants, Al.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to do the Circus Circus thing, but you know, we'll make sure and waste it in some other way. And we do appreciate your support.
Yes, and longtime listening.
Yep, Al's one of my favorites. Al was then angling. I think he was he was angling to find out if I had a ranking of
callers
of our callers, and he assumed he was in the top 10. I assured him that he was number 11 at best because he doesn't call often enough. I don't have an official ranking. Although then I thought about it. Should I do a ranking? Then I'm like, no, that's a bad, bad idea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'll do a secret ranking in my head and that's it.
Okay.
All right.
You don't even have to share it with me.
No, I just share the ones that are ridiculous with you that I don't use on the show. Although not all of them that I don't use on the show are ridiculous. I need to clarify.
Yeah.
Some of them are. I won't go into more details, but there are two of them this week. All right. Dan, I've said too much. Dan with a mid-trip donation on the eve of the start of college football bowl season. Good luck to you.
Good luck and thank you.
Yep, I wouldn't be putting any money on the Gophers in the Holiday Bowl because they're a bunch of scumbags. finally, VespaJet, longtime friend of the show.
Thank you.
Christmas in Vegas. Oh, that's so awesome. Enjoy it. Have a great time and celebrate, you know, as only you can do during Christmas in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of curious what VespaJet's Christmas in Vegas looks like. I look forward to a post-trip report on the Facebook group or by phone from VespaJet.
All right.
Now all the pressure's on him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you all so much for your support. It means a lot to us. So I don't know. Next week is Christmas weekend. We may do a show. We may not do a show.
We'll see.
I'm going to leave the door open. I'd not, if you ask me right now, I'd say probably not. Kind of leaning towards taking the weekend off.
Okay.
But if I'm in a mood like I'm in today.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little, feeling Vegas-y. You're feeling the same. Maybe we'll go for it. And I don't know.
Perhaps there could be an evening recording.
I feel that's coming on sometime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if we don't, in the event that we don't, we want to wish the best to all of our listeners for a happy holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a politically correct way of saying Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah?
Sure.
All right.
And whatever else you celebrate.
Yep. Whether you celebrate everything or nothing.
Solstice.
Do people really celebrate solstice?
I don't know.
I feel like the people who are into solstice, like as a thing, I don't know if they celebrate anything. I don't. I'm saying this because I assume there's not that many people who are like really into the solstice who are listening to our podcast because they're probably like hippie nut jobs. Great. Now, the voicemail line is going to be flooded with calls from Wiccans now. Great. All right.
I was just trying to be inclusive and look where it went.
I know. This is going to be one of those shows where I hit stop after we're done recording and go, there are a couple things I said there that I probably shouldn't have, but I'm not going to go back and edit them out because
sure?
I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah, why am I? Nah. Always going to offend somebody. All right. 500.
You have no fucks to allocate to
I them. Have no holiday fucks to give. That's exactly how I'm feeling. All right. 500bymidnight.com is the webpage where you can find our sponsor information and those banners and links I mentioned. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions. I would love to hear from you. I have a couple that I'm holding on to, so maybe we'll do a Dear Tim and Michelle show soon.
Okay.
Or segment on a show, at least. 500gmail.com is the place to send those. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, our voicemail line available to you anytime, day or night, 702-866-9494. And a reminder, when you call the voicemail line, you won't necessarily hear my beautiful voice anymore. You'll just hear a generic message, but you can assume you got the right place. So program it into your phone. So you just have to hit one button and you know that you got the right place. All right. Thank you as always for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. And before we go, I should just play this.
I am Siegfried.
And I'm Roy. Our white lions and white tigers join us in wishing you a magical holiday season.
And a special New Year's with all your dreams coming true.
You thought you were going to get out of the show without that, didn't you?
No, not really.
Figured I'd sneak it in at the end. All right, kids, have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.